to you by Grow Generation. Today's episode of the Cantina is, whether on Dagobah or Tatooine you are, everything you need to grow right where you are, they have. Later in the episode, more on them you will hear.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
See, I got brain damage, guys. It's not a joke. It's real. It's sad. I quit. No. Anyways, welcome to the show, everyone. The little green guy introduced the show and our sponsor. This is the Cantina, brought to you by the great people over at Grow Generation. We have got just holy shit. It was an interesting last, 36 hours?
It's still going, too. There's still,
I know,
more.
Right? Yep. And for some of us, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, maybe a month, while we've been like, wait, what, when, huh, now, no, and then all of a sudden, here we are. Does that sum it up, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were there for about 3 to 4 weeks where there was barely any Star Wars news, and it was kind of like a lull, and then all of a sudden, it's just like the floodgates have opened up, and it's like every 6 to 8 hours, we get something, you know, new and somewhat shocking, you know, yeah. That kind of keeps us guessing of what's coming up, you know, for the future of Star Wars.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host, Cam. Cam, what's up, bud?
Hi, nothing much. How's it going?
You are the lead writer on a lot of this stuff, and you get to the news earlier than we do on the eastern seaboard of the U.S., let alone the cats out on the left coast. But you, man, you've been on top of that. So why don't you go ahead and start guiding us through some of the really cool things that have been announced recently?
Well, I mean, I think the first place we should start is what we announced ourselves in terms of, you know, Mike's article this week, which obviously didn't come through me first of all, and you know that we found out, because if you remember, we had said that, you know, there was going to be some classic bounty hunters showing up in the Book of Boba Fett, but we didn't have any names or anything like that. And this week, obviously, Mike got a hold of a name for us, which was Bosk. So we've kind of had that confirmed that Bosk is going to be a character that's going to appear in the Book of Boba Fett. That's kind of cool, right? You know, we all, does anybody not want to see Bosk show up again? He was literally in like one scene of Empire Strikes Back, but you know, there's been so much more between the Clone Wars and video games and comics and books that have usually now EU books, right enough legend books, but that have kind of covered that character of Bosk. So I think I'm definitely interested to see him coming into the kind of live action Star Wars universe again, if you like. So that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I realize I was kind of muted there, but I have read about Trandoshan Jedi, you know, like I can't wait to see a non-stiff rubbery suit Bosk being able to hunt. When you imagine what a humanoid lizard, a predator, will move like, be capable of, think like, and the, oh my, just, ah!
Yeah, it's just something we haven't seen properly before, and that's
it's a species coming back that we, you know, I mean, just, oh my God, lo and behold, we can reuse an alien species from the original trilogy besides a fucking Wookiee.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is that we've also heard reports that there was a Wookiee on set the Book of Boba Fett as well. We didn't have a name for it or anything like that. There was a few sort of speculation bits about who it might be, like Black Cranston. But, you know, to be honest, we don't know. All we knew was there was this report that there was a Wookiee costume basically on the set of Book of Boba Fett. That's interesting, I think, especially if Bosk's involved, because traditionally, you know, his people were involved in the kind of capture and enslavement of the Wookiees. If you go by the kind of old canon, it's hard to know how that's changed over the years, but certainly that's what it is. Sorry, I've had a bad cough, guys. So, if when I'm talking, it gets worse. Stay away.
I got my stay away. like I said, but to me, the interesting thing is going to hopefully be watching Bosk hunt. Mike, I mean, can you think of what else, why else that character? I mean, when you think of the lineup that was there, you know, Zuckus, the one I always forget,
Zuckus,
Cam,
yes.
I said it first this time. I think that's the clue. You know,
do you remember his friend?
Do you have Dengar? Yeah. Who do you go with besides Bosk? And the whole reason is because it's a fucking lizard person.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the most sense. Like when we you know, I heard from, you know, sources that the plan was just to bring back some of the older bounty hunters and kind of, you know, get some, because let's face it, the Mandalorian universe is a kind of an ode to the old original trilogy. There's a lot of things from the original trilogy that are being brought back into, you know, the show. And so when Boba Fett got his, you know, his own show, it's, and we hear that, you know, other bounty hunters will appear. Granted, you know, like we'll definitely get, you know, newer bounty hunters more than likely, you know, appearing, but it makes sense for Bosk to appear. Now, how much of, you know, we'll see. It's on, you know, I don't know that extent of it, because it's been, you know, the storyline has been really tightly wrapped around it. They don't want to expose too much. But
well, I mean, just saying that, it has been super secretive. Would you agree with me on that? That especially, like, to me, we've learned much more about the likes of Andor and Obi-Wan than we have Book of Boba Fett, which actually is ahead of them at the moment, and really even less about where Mando goes, which we'll get to later. But, you know, it just seems this kind of level of keep everything under your hat at the moment from Lucasfilm. Yeah. And I think that's why we haven't had so much information from a while. And bear in mind, we've not had anything official. It's just a few little bits and bobs have started to come out. But basically, that's two bits of news we've had about Book of Boba Fett in the entire time that's been shooting, finished, wrapped, and is probably in post now. And we've heard like two things about it. And one was related to the other, so you know that kind of tells you the kind of level of secrecy that's really happening right now.
Bosk, like I remember when we broke the news out and I went on Kessel Run Transmissions with Corey and Noah, like they you know of course thought Bosk was going to be in the show as well, you know. And then the question is Cad Bane, does Cad Bane come back? Because there's that relationship that Bosk has with Boba Fett. Because when we watch the Clone Wars, you have a young Boba Fett appear and Bosk is with him. And
almost
and,
like a mentor to him in some ways. Though,
right. And then we'll later. And then if you stay canon, he becomes his protector, you know, his bodyguard for there for a little bit right before Empire Strikes Back. And then there's something that happens that I think we're going to find out, because up to Empire Strikes Back, they were partners, or, you know, Bosk was his, you know, bodyguard there for a little bit. But then something happens where they kind of split. As we see in Empire Strikes Back, Vader hires a bunch of bounty hunters to go search for the Millennium Falcon. We don't know exactly why Boba Fett's on his own now, because we don't, you know, it could be explained that way, you know. And I think Dave Filoni does a great job of filling in those gaps that the, you know, George Lucas created in his story. He does a wonderful job of, you know, tying it all in together. And so we'll probably see that. Could we possibly see Cad Bane? More than likely. I think so. But
if he's alive, because there was from the Clone Wars where Boba was supposed to kill Cad Bane, wasn't there?
It's an unfinished episode. It's been out there. It was released I think it's Star Wars Celebration 5 or something like that. Filoni had a panel talking about what his plans were. He released the episode. It's very rough, uncut. There's an argument whether or not that's canon or not.
I don't think it is canon until they make it canon. That's the thing. You can't.
If you go to certain websites, if you go to certain Star Wars websites, they say it's canon. If you go to other websites, they say it's not canon. There's a back and forth debate on Twitter about those unpublished or unfinished episodes. Filoni, you know, has kind of been coy about it, but he's coy always in anything Star Wars. You know, is Ahsoka alive? Maybe, maybe not. Was, you know, the Rebels, you know, ending right after, you know, Return of the Jedi? Maybe, maybe not, you know, type deal. So he always leaves that kind of door open where he could go back and say, oh yeah, that didn't really happen, and type deal. I will say this, is that we've kind of already seen the costume of Bosk. If we go back to season 2 of Mandalorian and we see the lizard, lizard lady and stuff like that. And that,
yeah, the one with the kids that he's trying to
In the costume makeup like that, something very similar to that we'll see with Bosk. It's not going to be CGI made. It's more, you know, practical makeup and effects.
I mean, that makes sense. As long as it doesn't look like the thing, the old William Shatner, I think, Star Trek.
I wasn't thinking like we were going to see Reptile from Mortal Kombat, because just like Spider-Man, when you think how a human would move if it were spider-like, and you look at how spiders do move on their webs, how they prepare to leap from place to place,
right?
They incorporate. That's what I meant. Even
I get you. I mean, that can all be done by, you know, choreography and stunt performer at the end of the day. And it depends what they've got them doing. Because
even
frog
lady, how she moved in the one episode when she was running away from the spider creature. I forgot the technical term for it, but
actress insisted on being on ground, hopping, even though they were going to use
very realistic
CGI
and
overlays and stuff, you know. Very, very awesome.
And Bosk has going back to Bosk too, his popularity is almost, I would say, almost right up there with Boba Fett. I mean, because he's, you know, has a big follower. So if you go to Empire Strikes Back, there's a lot of people that, you know, was very intrigued in the other bounty hunters. There's a lot of books, you know, that have Bosk in it, comic books. He's in the Clone Wars, so fans of the Clone Wars got that. Battlefront 2, he's one of the strongest characters you can play as, and I think it's almost like you had to put him in this show, or, you know, you had to bring him in to do kind of fan service. You know, it's gonna be, you know, kind of the younger generation when Ahsoka first appeared on Mando. I think you're going to see the older generation when you see Bosk, you know, appear. You'll see that, you know, kind of get that goosebumps, you know, excitement going again and stuff, you know, and see a lot of people enjoying that moment.
I'm excited about it. What else we got, Cam?
Well, before we get into the one we're probably going to spend most time talking about, there's a couple of things just hit today we could cover quickly that we haven't really had time to process yet. One of them is that Liam Neeson is kind of recently just appeared in Jimmy Kimmel, and he once again said that he's not been contacted to appear at all in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, which he knows Ewan McGregor is there filming at the moment. It's kind of like, you know, that's always been his stance on it. I suppose there was some fans, I hold my hands up and say I'm one of those fans, who kind of always hoped that he was just being coy. His voice. I've said it to you before, Ken. Yeah. You've talked about it.
I agree. I think it would be just good.
His voice. I don't think he needs to physically appear, be in costume. He doesn't need to appear as a voice ghost, but the canon explains why he doesn't. But I would like to hear his voice and have a conversation between them. If we don't get it, we don't get it. But I'll kind of always think, I kind of wish they'd just put that in, you know, and that would have been a nice scene, you know. That makes sense to me anyway.
Yeah.
But what do you guys think? Do you think he's being coy and he could show up for a bit of ADR work, or is he just not going to be in it?
You go ahead, Kyle. Go for it.
I was gonna say, I think Ewan himself would at least want to react via Zoom if Neeson wasn't available to be on set, so they would have Neeson, if it was a voiceover thing, in the scene speaking to McGregor. I honestly believe that. I think that they both would want some sort of interaction. However, that not necessarily being possible because they don't want it to come out until the end. It is a very real possibility that even McGregor doesn't realize there's a scene that he's going to film in post where he'll do a Zoom meeting and then ADR Neeson later.
I mean, yeah, it's possible. You know? And McGregor's not saying just anything about it at all. So, you know, you might be fully aware.
Neeson
might be fully aware.
Cam.
I do have a little bit of hope. But, yeah, you fire in, Mike.
Yeah, so there's a couple things to go off of this that, like, kind of saddens me a little bit. So, number one, we know, like, it's concrete. This is going to take 10 years post Return of the Jedi. Okay, so this is
Revenge of the Sith.
I mean, sorry, Revenge of the Sith, not Return of the, I'm sorry, Revenge of the Sith. Sorry.
Yeah.
So 10 years
don't
post.
Don't put the second best Star Wars movie.
Don't ever put Revenge of the Sith before Return of the Jedi again.
Don't
ever. My fault. Okay. So we got it 10 years post Revenge of the Sith. So we know that Obi-Wan, at the end of Revenge of the Sith, Yoda sends him to go train to learn how to, be one with the Force and go get his training from Qui-Gon Jinn. Okay, if you watch the Clone Wars, you know that training that Yoda goes through to go and to live, amongst the Force, Qui-Gon is not in physical form. That but when he died, he was in the middle of that training. So you're gonna get just the audio version of it. So, I think that we're gonna see, if you do have a shot at Liam Neeson coming back as Qui-Gon Jinn, it's gonna basically be audio only, voice only.
And I don't think they would have even needed to contact them now for like something that basically take them 10 minutes to record one day.
Exactly. The other thing that kind of disturbs me a little bit is that if publicists and studios know like these kind of secrets are going to happen, then when they go into interviews, like someone like of Jimmy Kimmel, they say, do not ask about this. There, you guys kind of know from doing interviews that some publicists will say, okay, keep it on topic. We're only talking about this film. Don't bring up anything Star Wars related and stuff or anything like that. So that there is none of this like, hey, are we or are we not, being coy about this and stuff. So could Lucasfilm just kind of be waiting till near the end to say, hey, we have a spot for you in this show if you want to be a part of it, or do you not? What I know and what from the people I've talked to is that Deborah Chow and the creative team behind Obi-Wan, they want this series to be kind of the about Obi-Wan and Anakin and Obi-Wan Darth Vader, right? Mm-hmm. If you bring Qui-Gon into it, there's kind of a distraction, I would say, or something like that. But the main focal point is you're gonna see Anakin / Darth Vader's hatred towards Obi-Wan and going and finding him. It's basically he is still bitter 10 years post in losing to Obi-Wan. Because he was considered the strongest, most powerful Jedi, and that, he becomes Darth Vader and stuff. And, Obi-Wan takes him down, and so you're going to see more or less the vengeance, the revenge that, that Anakin, / Darth Vader is going to have towards Obi-Wan.
You mean we're going to get to see stuff that we didn't get to see
greatest
here?
Lightsaber battle of all time.
That something that will actually matter. I don't know. No, Cam, what do you think?
I don't know. As long as it's not like what I'm seeing on screen right now, I'll be okay with it.
Listen,
you could have seen a helicopter.
That was years ago. We're past that. Even though it's still great,
that was then. That there's my promotional jump. Yeah. That was then.
So this is now.
Let's talk for real though. Oh, let's stick with this Obi-Wan thing and legitimacy, guys. They say the rematch. We know that Vader's suit's on there. I mean, are we prepared to see what is it, scene 38 on?
Ooh, yeah.
Do you guys think we're gonna get that? Like, legit, is that the climax of this show, Mike? What do you think?
Climax of the show? I don't think so, but pretty damn close to it.
Okay. Cam, you are we getting a suited up Vader almost? I've seen from, I don't know if it was Mike, Clone Wars
if
or Mike's Ahsoka.
If on the positive side, man, he knows more shit about gets this broken. Than me, then I'm not going to go against what he says. So,
not whether or not it would be the climax. Just are you excited to see something like that?
It depends how it's all done. You know, it depends how it's all done. I think it's delicate. That, you know, there has to be a good reason for it, in my opinion. And why Vader then kind of that search falls away after that, an explanation maybe of why for the next 10 years after that, you know, Vader's not hot on his tail again. I know they had the rebellion to worry about at that point. You know, that's kind of when the rebellion kicks off. That's when the stuff in Rebels all tends to happen, is after that point. And we know, as per Rebels, that at that point Obi-Wan's on Tatooine because he's there when Darth Maul shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as it makes sense, you know, for them to have some kind of confrontation and then for Vader to kind of lose track of him in some ways and then be has the Emperor moves his focus onto other things which are more important at that time, you know, so that it makes sense that when Obi-Wan does show up again in New Hope, he's like, "Ah, you're back, finally, you bastard." You know what I mean? It's right. Like that kind of element, because it doesn't feel like they've seen each other 3 weeks ago. I know when we had our 10th battle 3 weeks ago,
right.
You were but the learner.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean?
And they're playing with, you know, the words from a New Hope where it could fit. The last time they saw each other was Mustafar, and then it could fit where it's sometimes sometime after, but I really hope that it ends up being done, that it just doesn't add too much or God forbid take too much from the canon. You know what I'm saying?
I get you on that. Yeah, that's why I'm saying delicately. You know, it's a delicate part of the process. But at the same time, if they get it right, and we get what we kind of want as a fan, and then we don't, you know, because initially when we see something like that, we'll just get really excited about it and we'll love it at the time. But then, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks goes by. This is how this works. And you then start to look at it in the cold light of day and you go, actually, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if that was such a good idea anymore. And that's what I don't want to happen with Obi-Wan. I kind of am putting it on a bit of a pedestal in terms of, you know, my expectations for it, which is maybe a bad thing.
So think about it this way, though. Okay, let's look at some of the examples we got. And so when we see Obi-Wan on Tatooine in Rebels, right, and he goes up against Darth Maul, I don't know if you guys remember, but that episode when it was promoted, it was like this was going to be the final battle between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul. And for that week leading up, I was expecting it to be like a 20-minute battle scene, right? And it ends up being 10 seconds, you know.
And it's better that way though, isn't it?
At the first I was in so much shock. I was like, wait a minute, what just happened? And I was like, that's it. And then
because this is a different battle from the one they had in the Phantom Menace, because Obi-Wan has grown and Maul has
lessened. Obi-Wan has learned to minimize and not waste, you know, his movements, and he's learned from his mistakes. And now he, you know, we see him take those different positions, from Qui-Gon's positions to his position in Revenge of the Sith, and then finally goes back into his traditional stance and takes out Maul in two strokes. Right. We're going to see an Obi-Wan that, you know, has advanced so far, you know, to the Obi-Wan that you have up on that pedestal, right?
Yeah.
And so when we see him, this is going to be a very different style. Like, you're not going to get the Revenge of the Sith, you know, battle, you know, that we see going for 30 minutes on and on and on. Is that you know, by the time we get to Obi-Wan on Tatooine at this point, and he's, you know, if he's completed his training, you know, with Qui-Gon and stuff, he's going to basically have a better understanding of himself, of the Force, and so he's going to be more in tune with everything. So that's where, remember, in A New Hope, you know, the point of him fighting Darth Vader was not to defeat Darth Vader, was to occupy him and get his frustration and his anger pointed towards him, so he wouldn't realize that Luke, Han, and Leia are, you know, bolting out of there with R2-D2 with the Death Star plans and stuff like that. It was
because although as the audience don't know that at that point, Obi-Wan knows that both these kids are literally just right there and in extreme danger.
Yeah, and
he needs to save them.
You know? And while I love the Scene 38 reimagined on YouTube, it doesn't. It's a great, you know, it's lightsaber battle and stuff like that, but it doesn't really capture that moment that Obi-Wan was literally just toying with Vader and Anakin. He has them. He knows that his anger and his frustration so focused on him, he has no clue whatsoever what's going on around him. And he allows his two kids,
toying,
to walk away, to basically fly away with Han and Chewie and R2, and the Death Star plans are on there, you know, and stuff. And he's just like, and that's what he says: if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you ever know. And he doesn't even listen. Vader doesn't listen to him, strikes him down.
Because of course Vader doesn't quite understand, and you see him kicking the robes and everything like that. He doesn't know what the hell, why is Obi-Wan just disappeared here, you know what I mean? That's a part of something that Obi-Wan learned after, you know, Vader's already become Vader, and Anakin's already become Vader.
And something else that I've kind of found on Reddit theories and stuff was that it could be possible, right, that the scene that we see Vader in Rogue One on Mustafar coming out of the Bacta tank, you know, could that be a result of his last encounter with Obi-Wan? Could he be that hurt where he has to go back to Mustafar, get healed? And remember, at that kind of moment in time, the Death Star is completed. We need to go. And then, you know, and you get the movement on there. That's the theory base.
I'm not sure the timeline works on that, though. You know, because we're talking, right, Obi-Wan Kenobi's set 10 years. So that's right smack in the middle of Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. Rogue One is set just before A New Hope. So it literally comes on. Yeah, so that's 10 years.
A result where they're like, after whatever happens in Obi-Wan, they tell him, Lord Vader, you're going to need, you know, back to treatment every 8 cycles or something, you know, use some dates system. So that a way they can connect it, maybe, you know.
And that's what keeps him from really going after Vader, because, after Kenobi, because, you know, something.
He would have to go away from, you know, the ship for a longer period of time, maybe.
Right, exactly. He has to stay on Mustafar for something. You know. And something that's kind of like been funny about, like, now that we're getting more and more of these stories that take place between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope, it's become comical now how bad Order 66 was because of how many Jedi, you know, actually escaped. And Vader, you know, we see with his, you know, Inquisitors are chasing after.
I mean, did anyone really expect them just to get everyone except Obi-Wan and Yoda at that point? That didn't make much sense either.
He said all of them.
Yeah.
No, wait.
Yeah, that was but that doesn't that mean that one. He can account 100%.
Listen, I'm just saying now. I mean, it's kind of valid. Palpatine had made this plan for how many years and had it all orchestrated to execute Order 66 and, you know, make sure that every Jedi was taken out.
He already fucked up, you know, because he fucked up because he left Obi-Wan and Yoda alive. And ultimately, his fate plan turned in its own head because the kids, Anakin Skywalker, come back to basically bite him in the bum. So, you know, his plans aren't infallible. You know, as we've saw, the Force
we need to do a podcast on how mismanaged the Empire really was, and how the Emperor was like the worst boss ever, worst CEO ever. Is the flat because there's so many things
you will
you will
upset a sect of the EU fandom.
Oh, that, I know, I would.
They're the ones that think the that Emperor Palpatine, everything he, all the super weapons were designed to fight the Vong, and they think Palpatine's like the hero of the. No, I'm not lying.
Oh, Hammer. I know, but so, just from a business management perspective, Palpatine could have taken some, you know, some courses on there on how to manage a company.
Yeah,
horrible.
I have taken some business management classes, Mike. And you know what one of the things they teach you to do?
Don't be Palpatine.
Don't be Palpatine and do outstanding ad reads for your sponsors.
There we
like
go.
Grow Generation. And we do them like this.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
Outstanding. Thank you guys very much for sponsoring the episode. You know, Cam, I think from now on, whenever Shockey's on the podcast, I'm just going to have that GIF ready. Ready.
I know. Got to make his time here as uncomfortable as possible, you know?
It's not uncomfortable. It's one of the best lightsabers battles of all time.
You know what? You know it's also one of the best gifts there is. This one's really funny. Hold on, let me get it in shot. That one.
Oh God! Yeah.
From Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
He's doing the. Oh man! All right, Cam. Let's move on because we've got
a couple of things still to talk about. Let's do a quickie one first of all. Forrest Whitaker is going to be in Andor. We found this out just today because it's not that surprising actually, but we haven't heard that about it. Stellan Skarsgård was on Swedish radio and he was talking about. I don't quite have the translation yet, so I'll be calling this for the site probably tomorrow. Once we get a proper translation, basically someone who's Swedish says, yeah, he's talking about sort of geeking out over a really cool scene that he had with Forrest Whitaker. We don't know what character Skarsgård is playing. We don't have any idea on that. But, you know, it's that first information that we've had that Forrest Whitaker is in it. It's not that surprising, though, is it, to be honest, given the where things go in Rogue One. And this is before that, so kind of when Saw's still maybe slightly more legitimate and connected with the Rebellion as a whole at that point, you know, then there could be some crossover with what happens with Cassian, you know. I mean, you guys give your opinions on it and then we'll move on, but I don't find it that surprising, but it's just cool.
No,
you know?
I mean, we're not too far removed from their ages of filming to wear makeup and you know, some time at a spa can't you know, make sure that you're set for that because Whitaker's older, and as you get older, it's harder to look younger. it makes sense, and it kind of leads back, Cam, to the conversation you and I have had, and I think even Mike and I, maybe it was all three of us, of what Andor could be, which is the story of him deciding to go down the route that he does, and maybe even following some additional paths where we see things like the splitting of the rebellion, which is funny because that story element is actually an EU story element. When the rebellion was first formed, Mon Mothma, she's not Alderaanian. What is she? Chandrillion, no. Right? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't know. But
anyways,
she's not from
Senator Garm Bel Iblis from Corellia and Senator Organa from Alderaan were the three key founders. Bel Iblis, or Bel Iblis, however you want to pronounce it, he kind of went the rogue way. He wanted to do things one way. The others said no, and it caused the split. So to me, like, the Saul Guerrera character, I'm okay with, because he's Garm Bel Iblis to me. Just instead of an Italian guy, I heard in my mind, it's Forrest Whitaker. you're right. I expect it, and I'm cool with it. I still say to this day, Whitaker has other films besides Last King of Scotland that deserved an Oscar. So I really wish
be in some stinkers from time to time as well. Do you not feel with Forrest Whitaker? He's one of those actors that can pull off an Oscar-winning performance, and then you watch him in another film, and you think, that's kind of stinking the place up.
I just really wish Smith had gotten it for Pursuit of Happiness that year. But anyways, Mike Whitaker.
I mean, it's not too much of a shocker. You know, Saw Gerrera is a very popular character in the most since Rogue One, Clone Wars era type. So we were introduced to Saw Gerrera's character in the Clone Wars animated series. And then, you know, live action in Rogue One, then, you know, Rebels, Saw Gerrera appears in there. Was Jedi Fallen Order, we see Saw Gerrera, Bad Batch. So, I mean, you know, he's kind of the, you know, the first, not necessarily leader, I don't know, kind of figure for the rebellion, you know, and people, because we saw in the very first episode of the Bad Batch, you know, Saw Gerrera is kind of the guy who starts banding up, you know, fighters to go up against the Empire. And so, does it shock me that he's an Andor? No, you know, that de-aging can work well, you know. But I mean, Forrest Whitaker, he doesn't look that much older than when he first started acting, if you ask me. Maybe a little bit heavier, you know, a little bit more gray in the beard or something. But you shave, you know, his beard, you do a little hair paint and stuff like that, you know, the hair dye, you're good, you know. So, yeah, I think it's not a complete shocker on that part. And if it was supposed to be a surprise, oops, you know, but...
it's not that much a big surprise, though. But I think there will be. I'm expecting to see Jimmy Smith show up in that
oh,
show.
Yeah. I think Jimmy Smith's already been confirmed for it.
Has he? Yeah, I don't know that. I'm not seeing that. So there you go. I know Mon Mothma's in it. I know that. Yeah. Was it Genevieve O'Reilly? She's in it. I know that, but I hadn't heard specifically about the old Jimmy Smiths. Anyway. Let's get on to the
Chandrilla.
Chandrilla, yep.
Yeah.
You got it right.
I think I said Chandrilla, but the Chandrilla. Ha! Ha! Test my G, motherfuckers. Sorry.
Is it right? He's got one thing right. A name right once in how many episodes? No.
That's it.
No, hold on. Did you guys? I don't know if either of you guys got to hear all of my interview with Mike Stackpole, who answered a question on Twitter yesterday that I had forgot to ask about flight sims and, like, you know, where he kind of, because for those of you that don't know, the X-Wing books designed how Star Wars works in novels, and basically it turns out that Mike Stackpole used X-Wing and TIE Fighter, the old PC games, he used those for part of the combat mixed with what he told me during the interview with knowing people that had served in the Air Force or the Navy, flying and his own research and history and the technology. So he literally played the computer game. So Cam, all of those things you and I were talking about were cool, but to the name thing, I'm wrapping it back around to getting a name thing right. Tycho Selchu, as it was, someone had pronounced, someone had tried to say that it was pronounced Tycho, and I was like, no, it's gotta be Tycho, and he's a very important Rogue Squadron member. And when Stackpole said I got that name right, like there was like a audible gasp when he says the name in Jammer. Call Jammer, who's listening on the back end, because it's one of my first interviews after my head injury in the car accident, and it's with, you know, not idle, just in case I needed any assistance. Jammer's in the background. He's like, he calls me out on it. But how many times have you learned from an author that the name that you had no idea how to pronounce, you just created it? How often does the author confirm you were right?
I mean, it happens to me all the time, man.
Fuck you.
I mean, I'm British. We just pronounce stuff right.
Oh, shut up.
To begin
up.
With. Dude, you know, there was... just read it and pronounce it. Of course it's Tycho. That would be stupid for it to be Tycho.
People
that
were
doesn't make any sense at all. If it was Tycho, it would be T-I. Choe, yep. That would be Tycho.
And Selchu or Kelchu, and that people
well,
have
you could
argued
argue
over that. So,
but not there would never be a hard K in the beginning, but it could be Ch in the middle of that one.
There were. Anyway. It's just one of those times where you hear that you get something right. You never, because think of how many. How many people did we know the first time we read the Thrawn trilogy, right? And you read Joris Sybioth as he's pronounced in the audio book. Mm-hmm. I used to say Seaboth. That's mm-hmm. how I pronounced it, you know? No one around me had read the book for
Listen,
me to ask.
You're talking to the guy for years used to get ridiculed because I would call it AT-AT and not AT-ATs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody would criticize, it's not AT-AT, it's AT-AT. I'm like, no, it's AT-AT. Because you don't call it AT-AST for AT-ST.
Uh-uh.
You say AT-ST,
no.
Right?
Yeah, don't
and,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then
true.
I forgot. I think it was a Kevin Smith interview or something. And George Lucas was like, yeah, it's AT-AT. And I was like, yes, finally, for years. Yeah,
I must admit, I grew up calling it the AT-AT.
Everybody
because,
did. Everybody you know, called it the AT-AT, but for me, it was like,
I always
why
said
would you? Why
it's
would you call
called
it the AT-AT?
AT-ST, the AT-ST, because
right.
You just knew, it was right that it was an AT-AT, but it just sounded cool to say AT-AT. So yeah.
Because they also have anyway. The ATMTs. I don't know. If
yeah,
you guys
that's what like I didn't understand is why would you call every other model of the it the AT whatever, and then but the AT-AT was AT-AT. I was like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, and I used to get ridiculed by my friends. It's not AT-AT, it's AT-AT. Oh man, and then that day Lucas, and still people refuse to acknowledge it, and like, nope, it's still AT-AT. I think Kevin Smith still calls it the AT-AT and stuff. So.
Like, yeah, I mean, something
is a colloquialism,
just
but
head,
that's not what it is.
Yeah.
Like, that's the key.
Yeah. Okay, let's go on to the kind of meaty stuff then. All right, so Pedro Pascal and Ewan McGregor have been doing these kind of things for Variety, where they're interviewing each other essentially about, you know, and obviously given that they both are going to star in it. Like upcoming Disney Plus or have already Disney Plus Star Wars shows that they're talking about Star Wars. So Pedro Pascal, you know, when asked about, you know, Mandalorian season 3, says that they haven't started filming it yet. And he kind of, he goes to see something, goes, ah, no, I better not. And you know, and it just kind of gets left at that. So, you know, we have to cover that. But my initial reaction to that was, I wonder when that was recorded because there was no sort of date timestamp on it to say when this interview actually took place. But it must have been while the Obi-Wan filming was going on, based on stuff that Ewan McGregor's since come out and said, you know, he's talked about walking past stormtroopers and stuff like that, which he never did in the prequels because they were clone troopers, of course, and probably all CGI as well. So, you know, my initial reaction to that was that that didn't really jive with stuff I'd heard. Now, I didn't mean stuff like we had heard from our associate at LIM or anything like that, but kind of my job is also to sift through all the various rumours and kind of judge what ones are absolute bullshit and which ones might have some semblance of a truth to them. And I think I've got a pretty good feel for that. So I'd heard a couple of stuff that made me think that something had begun to do with The Mandalorian Season 3. Anyway, after I write the article, then Jordan Mason comes out and says, well, I've heard that, you know, from my sources that they have been filming stuff for Mandalorian Season 3, but he also said some other stuff which I didn't quite understand, and without him giving us the context of it, you know, I wonder if there's a reason why Season 3 is not really Season 3 or something like that. It didn't really make a lot of sense, but to be fair, that's because he didn't give us the information that we would need to make that make sense. So until he gives us more information, we can't really say for certain what he was talking about. Then Corey over at KRT had said, well, you know, I've kind of heard that they have been filming some of Mandalorian Season 3 as well. So then we speak to our source who, you know, without getting into too much detail, because they didn't, you know, it was basically a, you know, so has Mandalorian Season 3 been filming some stuff? Yeah. That was it, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, we all kind of covered that. And then after we covered that, Collider's done a report saying their sources from Disney have told them that actually Mandalorian Season 3 is kind of delayed at the moment, if you like, although that word was never used, but that it wasn't going to film until late this year, and you'd be looking at a sort of late 22 release date for that, which, to be fair, we never ever made any comments about the release date for it because we didn't know. It would have just been pure speculation. And I think when something releases is a marketing decision more than the creative team, I feel like. So that kind of tells me that Collider sources are on the marketing side, maybe rather than the production side. I don't know, but that kind of would make me think that, because I'm thinking about other sources I've come across where they probably wouldn't be able to tell you exactly when something's going to hit, you know, because that's not their job to worry about that sort of stuff. Their job's to get the project finished. So that kind of, it's all a little bit up in the air at the moment, but basically they're saying that no, it hasn't been filmed and it can't film because Obi-Wan's currently filming using that stage and using the volume in the LA. So book a Boba Fett rap, then it's Obi-Wan, then don't know what happens after that, you know, but they said Mandalorian could be later this year. But we have also heard that, you know, not from our source directly, but from other sources that Ahsoka might be starting to film this year as well at one point. So it kind of leaves us with a bit of, I don't know if you like, a muddle here at the moment. So I don't know where we want to start. Mike, let's start. Like Kyle, you go first. What do you think about all this?
Look, I think the Karanos situation threw a bigger wrench into things story-wise for Favreau and Filoni than Disney would like to admit. I think some things for Mando 3 were potentially filmed because they were similar to other places, situations, so the real
for
stuff
example,
that they needed.
If there was any scenes that cross over with Boba Fett and what he's doing, it would
like
make
that,
sense
that,
to maybe shoot some of that while the
stuff,
Boba Fett show's running.
You know, yeah. So I think that is a legit thing that, yes, there are frames of footage that are intended explicitly for Mando 3. Again, that's just me guessing. I'm not saying. It's just kind of looking at things logically. And I kind of agree with you, Cam, that it's more of a marketing containment thing and a than a creative thing. And God, how many reused resources exist these days thanks to the volume technology? Ta-da! I mean, literally spooling it up for some outdoor shot of the Razor's crest. I know it was destroyed, but as a flashback or something, is technically filming for The Mandalorian. So that's my take, Mike.
All right, so. There's a lot of gray in this, right? Okay, so
exactly.
Is Mando shooting in the volume? Mando season 3 shooting in the volume right now? No. Okay. That we know because Kenobi's using the volume right now. And think of it like this, it's kind of like an office, right?
Yep.
The volume's an office. They have so many productions that want to use it, and so they basically you schedule your time for it. Boom, boom, boom. But they're not everything is shot in the volume. A lot of it is, but not everything. Okay. So for example, Robert Rodriguez's episode of Mando in season 2, when you know we see Boba Fett come out, that was all shot in a live action setting. Okay. Because there was a leaked cell phone footage. A hiker was just happened to be walking, through the mountains in
California. No one believed it.
Everybody thought of it as fake and stuff. And J.J. Abrams used a lot of live set locations and stuff. And what was it? There's the set in Pinewood Studios in England. There's the set that's used in L.A. So. From talking to Corey and Noah, knowing what I know is that is Pedro Pascal filming season 3 of Mandalorian? No, but is a lot of extra stuff going on in production? Yes. Kenobi, has been going on for a long while, even though Ewan McGregor, didn't start filming till April. All the lead up to it was the production, is all getting all the extra stuff going on. So, to kind of say for Collider to say, hey, it's not filming, it's not going to film till end of this year or whatever. Okay. Yeah. With Pedro Pascal, I can see that, but exactly. You can't contain an entire season of a Star Wars show of the caliber they're doing in that short crunch period of time and saying it's all in the volume. That's just, it's not true. It's not.
We know for a fact, Pedro Pascal isn't actually that essential to filming on The Mandalorian because they had 6 episodes in the can of season 1 before he was even fully cast, signed up, And a lot of that's done in ADR.
When he takes his helmet off,
you need him. Yeah, but those scenes can be scheduled later on. He doesn't have to be there in the suit every day to film Mandalorian.
He wasn't there all the time in season two.
He does wear it far more in season 2, but he's not there all the time, for every episode of season 2 either.
Yeah, I think as with COVID restrictions having gone down so dramatically that the protocols in place and everything that are have pretty much gone away, more and more people are vaccinated, so that in itself is going, but that's something the Collider article, I mean, not to to knock them down or anything, but it didn't really say anything new. We already knew a lot of this stuff. We knew that it was going to be Book of Boba Fett in December. We got that. Andor is filming, Kenobi's filming, so we know that we're going to get Book of Boba Fett in December. We're probably going to get Andor, I would assume, being the next one. Now, when is that? To me, from what I've known and what I've talked to, some of the people, is that everything is basically predicated on Star Wars Celebration, which is in May. So we'll get Book of Boba Fett, which will be sometime in December, probably lead us into January. Then we're going to have a lull, February, March, April. And then we'll have May 4th, which could be, the premiere of Andor or they wait till Star Wars Celebration, which is at the, I think Memorial Day weekend now. in Anaheim. That what I heard from, you know, from people working, you know, the sources and stuff, is that they're, you know, Lucasfilm, you know, Reed Pop, the organizer of the event, they are cashing in as this is going to be the convention of conventions that's going to start it up and get back going, you know, things, and that they're going to have everyone there. There's going to be multiple panels that, like, this is going to be, you know,
they're
as big as
going it.
Yeah, they're San Diego, but when Star Wars Celebration came out for Force Awakens, you know, like that had one giant panel. Like, they want this to be, you know, are you going to the Kenobi panel? Or are you going to the Andor panel? Are you going to, you know, the Mando panel and so forth?
Comics writer,
Ahsoka panel. Like, this is going to be 4 to 5 days fully loaded of straight Star Wars content,
and
animated video games.
There.
Yeah. And well, that we will be there. And so that to me is what everybody, you know, everyone should be looking for. Okay. Is that Star Wars Celebration has always been, I mean, you know, the only announcement I know of recently that was at San Diego Comic Con that was a big Star Wars announcement was the Return of the Clone Wars for season 7. That was, I was in the panel room right next to it. I was covering a YouTube, you know, show that, you know, original show that only lasted one season. We're sitting in there and listening to the panel. All of a sudden you hear this massive uproar and it's the, you know, the room next to us and everybody's, what's going on? And we get on our phones and we see Star Wars Clone Wars coming back and you know, everybody's running out of there, like screaming, hollering. That's the only Star Wars, you know, announcement outside of Celebration. You know, I was there in the one in Orlando when they did Last Jedi. The one before that was in England when they did Rogue One. You know, a lot of these things, you know, they want a big announcements for. So is Mando season 3, if going back to our, like, in full on production? No. You know, we all know Pedro Pascal's in the show The Last of Us. That's, you know, shooting first. So like Cam said, do we really need Pedro Pascal for everything? No. You know, he do his shots later at the end of production if needed. You know, but this is kind of, you know, everything's in full steam ahead so that there is enough content available for Star Wars Celebration. There's enough trailers. There's enough excitement there that gets everybody going. Because if you think about it, next year we have potentially, you know, so we'll have, if you want Book of Boba Fett rolling over into 2022, you'll have that. You'll have Andor, you'll have Kenobi. And then more than likely season 3 of Mandalorian at the end.
Which do you think comes first? Ahsoka season 1 or Mando season 3? Oh. That's hard to guess,
okay,
isn't it?
That now is it's a coin flip now because of what happened with Gina Carano. Because this I do know that, you know, from way back when we broke it, that Rangers of the New Republic was Gina Carano's show.
Yep.
She had a very pivotal role to get that show going. And, you know, being now that it's not in production anymore, it's not canceled, not in production, is that the story has to be kind of carved out. Now, could that mean that there has to be a change to Mando season 3, introducing maybe Harrison Dula that way, or, you know, or some other character to take on Rangers of the New Republic, or maybe they just say, we're going to take it in a different direction now. You know, that, so we could possibly see Ahsoka earlier than Mando season 3.
I'll tell you the one thing I do expect to hear by Celebration, and that is the setting, just the setting of Rogue Squadron.
Oh yeah,
it comes out December 23.
Yep.
So Celebration,
when do you think it'll
22?
Start filming? Just a guess. We don't have any information.
I mean, we know they're probably in various priest stages. They've probably got some storyboard. We know there's some writing and stuff going on.
As far as we know, there's not a finished script at the moment.
That's
that
what
doesn't
I'm
mean
saying.
You don't have to.
Doesn't mean that you don't have
things going. Yeah.
Exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, that there's some storyboards. We know there's writing going on. The set production designer was hired, so you know that definitely there's drawings of sets and worlds and hangars and stuff that there's going to be. So that to me means that they've got to at least have an idea of some characters and a setting for
and
specifics.
And to give you a little bit more detail, so Patty Jenkins, the director, she is in pre-production right now for Cleopatra. So that probably won't start filming for a couple more months. She'll do that and then probably roll over into Rogue Squadron. So we're seeing, I would say, filming, you know, probably.
Who's she making that for? Who's making Cleopatra? Like,
Warner Brothers?
Okay. And is this a big historical epic? You know, is that what this is designed to be?
Yeah, it's Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot's Cleopatra.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great casting. Don't get me wrong, but. You know,
oh my god, Mike, I hate to do this, but how bad did it hurt your heart when people complained about Gal Gadot being cast as Cleopatra because they didn't understand where the House of Ptolemy came from, and that just because Cleopatra was Empress or Queen of Egypt doesn't mean that she was the same as prior pharaohs. I'm trying to be as PC as can be here. But I was like, dude, do you know what Cleopatra, Ptolemy, they're Mediterranean, dude.
Cleopatra, we have a lot of, you know, imagery that shows us roughly what Cleopatra did look like. It's not, you know, photos or anything like that. Statues and drawings and Paramount. Stuff like that. So
it looked like
it's Paramount, is it?
Yeah, Paramount is the one.
Paramount likes an epic every now and again.
The House of Ptolemy, like a lot of people and that still exist were mixtures of those Central European Italian peninsula, you know, area and then Northern Africa and Egypt. Yeah. And then of course you get over into the Iberian Peninsula, and that's why you guys should be checking out our new podcast, Battle World Podcast, the Battle World Podcast. It's our World War. We covered a World War II movie.
We haven't got to Egypt yet.
Yeah. What?
I said we haven't got to Egypt yet battles. We haven't got to the Roman conquest Egypt yet.
Gotta get there.
So getting back to our Star Wars stuff. Patty Jenkins, she's in pre-production right now for Cleopatra. So that will probably take the remainder of this year up. Then I would say first half of 2022, start roll into Rogue Squadron. Because remember, too, she's also directing Wonder Woman 3. And so that probably... probably is on it to keep it things relevant on a fast paced track as well. So Patty Jenkins is going to be a busy woman the next 3 years, 3 to 4 years.
And I know Taika Waititi said that he hopes that the next film that he works on is going to be his Star Wars film.
He's got to finish Thor.
After he finishes Thor, all the post, everything, you know, for Thor. But he does have some TV projects that he's got to go on in next, but he's kind of, so he's not 100% sure, but he thinks the next film that he works on after Love and Thunder and Star Wars.
To link this all back to Star Wars Celebration, if you think about it, right, the only things that will kind of be solid production-wise are the TV Disney Plus shows, right? Because if you think about it, Patty Jenkins wouldn't have started Rogue Squadron, but at least we'll get maybe some concepts.
10 years after like whatever, Rise of Skywalker. Something.
Right.
That's what I'm expecting.
You may get that.
You won't. Taika Waititi will still be, you know, is filming Thor, you know, Thunder and Love, and that won't be, you know, done, or that he'll basically be finishing that up by the time Celebration comes.
I don't think he'll have done much of anything Johnson, by that point.
Yeah, Rian Johnson's trilogy that won't be. He's still got to do Knives Out too.
And he's doing Knives Out 3 as well.
Yeah,
you know, his contract for Netflix, so it could be before, after he's done both of those.
So a lot of the big production, theatrical production stuff, we're not going to see any type of film for that or type of footage for that at Star Wars Celebration. So it's all based off of this celebration's all based off of Disney Plus and what we're getting from there. You'll get some animated stuff, but the what gets people excited, what people sign up for, is the live action. That's going to be Disney Plus stuff. So yeah, I think we're going to see if they hold off enough. Andor, Kenobi, Mando season 3, Ahsoka. There.
Isn't it kind of crazy? Star Trek started in TV and then went to movies. I know they always had their foot in TV, but you know, really charged hard into movies. While Star Wars was like movies, TV. Yeah, and now
that's the industry, isn't it? Ooh. Yeah, that's the industry's changing because you know there wasn't the any Ewok money to be show? Made. You know,
the droids cartoon. Remember droids, that?
Yeah. Your money on TV was simply just the money that you got for advertising. So the better ratings you had on a network, the more adverts you could sell. That's where you get your money. Whereas your movies were box office, so you know if your movie's popular enough, you just make money directly to the studio. So that just worked it better for everybody. But of course, the new subscription world is different because this is people saying, "I will pay you $7-$10 a month, whatever the streaming service costs that you subscribe to, and I will keep paying you that every month as long as you keep providing me with this content." And it's, you know, that's money in the pocket, and that's a very different world we live in now. Yeah, there was that rumored Star Wars show, that the Underworld show that was supposed to be kind of happening before Lucas had sold. I don't think that would have looked as good as what the current Disney Plus stuff looks like, you know, for example, because they just couldn't do that with that kind of budget then.
To wrap it up on looks and what's capable on TV, oh my God, Loki, you want to talk about an amazing set production and just beautiful usage of that BioShock Fallout 4, well, all of Fallout, but that 50s chic, glorious. But anyways, guys, it has been a great, like I said, like 36 hours. God knows what we've missed talking and yapping for an hour and 15 minutes with you, but we appreciate you guys tuning in as always. Cam, Shockey, thank you, of course, for being here. Everyone, please make sure you check out lrmonline.com every day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Check out LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network. That's our YouTube channel. That's our podcast network where you get all your podcasts, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud's awesome because our playlists are public, curated by show. Subscribe, hit the bell, hit the notifications, subscribe. Did I mention subscribe? It's really important that you subscribe. And then, of course, there's a bunch of social media information down at the bottom, but I'll let everyone say their own as we go around. Shockey, what's going on with you and where can people find you at?
Just trying to keep up with all the Star Wars news and trying to get as much content for you guys out there, checking with the sources and everything. But you guys can follow me at @LRM_exclusive on Twitter. That's where basically all our stories are posted, and you can message us on through there, and I'll respond back.
There you go. Okay, Cam.
You know what I do. So if you go to LRMonline.com at any point, and just pick on a random story, half the time it's going to be one of mine. So, I'm just trying to, my focus is on, whatever the news is, but I definitely tend to focus on the big hitters like, Marvel, Star Wars, DC, the big sort of geek stuff, fantasy that's going on. You can find me at LRM_Cam on Twitter.
There you guys go. I'm fighting my 50-pound dog here. I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, at that one Kyle Malone on Instagram. Big podcast I wanted to talk about this week. Animeversal Reviews is talking Fully Cooly FLCL on Saturday. So definitely check that out. Thank you guys so much for listening this week. And may the force be with you.